Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Old Committee Meeting, Friday, April 16th, 1999, Hearing Room F, 8 a.m.
Right, so she's in San Diego today for the funeral. So she'll be back Monday, we're Miss Wesley. Okay, we start off today with budget bills. First one is House Bill 5011, Office of Community College Services, Representative Ross.
House Bill 5011 is the budget bill for the Office of Community College Services. In this budget, the state supports the operation of Oregon's 17 community colleges, provides these colleges with state-level leadership and technical assistance, funds the operation of skill centers, funds the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, and allocates federal funds to support workforce, adult basic education, literacy, and community service programs. The recommended budget includes $426 million general fund, $9.3 million other funds, and $96 million federal funds. Most of the general fund money is transferred directly to community colleges through the Community College Support Fund. The bill also appropriates $3,014,005 of general fund to the Emergency Board to support the second-year operations of regional partnerships between community colleges and higher education. Although the subcommittee fully funded these partnerships, we felt it prudent to reserve the second-year funds with the Emergency Board pending a report on the partnership operation funding. This is because Oregon University System is adopting a new budget model and the budgets of OUS partners are still uncertain. The subcommittee reduced general fund costs almost $254,000 by shifting personnel services expenditures for two positions in the office to other funds and federal fund sources. Otherwise, the budget, including the Emergency Board appropriation, funds the community college at the current service level. The general fund support will increase 8% from current biennium levels. House Bill 5011 does not include the $2 million enhancement for distance learning that was in the governor's budget. Subcommittee hopes to reconsider enhancement to the community college budget at a later time when the availability of funds for such purposes is better known. We do believe, however, that we should move ahead now with funds needed to maintain community college services. The subcommittee recommends approval. And I think that it's important to point out that the community college is the most popular state agency in state government, and its popularity is way ahead of the legislators at this table. So I think it is important to support this. Both sides of the aisle. I do want to point out that there was quite a bit of discussion about the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps. This is a new program that has just been moved to the community colleges from the Commission on Children and Families. There was a concern that since the state had moved up the minimum wage, that these are youth that on the 2 days a week when they work for the Conservation Corps, the other days they're in class, that funding them at the minimum wage made it impossible for them to maintain the same level of service with the funds that were allocated in the governor's budget. And the subcommittee did recommend that after the May forecast that the co-chairs consider adding $100,000 to Youth Conservation Corps budget to cover that expenditure, which would not allow expansion of their program, but it would allow them to maintain the same level. And that was a motion that passed in subcommittee, too. So we want the co-chairs to know that we made that request respectfully.
Thank you, Representative Ross. Representative Minnis.
I was just brought to my attention, there's concerns over the Klamath and Rogue Valley colleges. And Mr. Bassett has come up, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair.
Roger Bassett.
And it's just to state for the record on the record that you'd be willing to sit down and work with these folks and see if we can help anything.
Chair Timmons, members of the Ways and Means Committee, this has to do with how the community college formula and the historical average records of student enrollment play into allocations to the in the two cases mentioned, and in also Southwestern Oregon Community College, we've had annexations, or in the case of Klamath, creation of a new district, which creates a very steep enrollment curve that makes it tough on local presidents to manage the relationship between the dollars they get based on history and the demand for enrollments based on right now. And the formula doesn't address that very well. We count on some combination of state board rulemaking and local cash flow management to try to work our way through those. This body, this Ways and Means Committee, has been instrumental in allowing the enrollment increases. We're committed to work with those colleges and with interested legislators as we go through the rulemaking stage and as we go through the rest of the legislative session to manage those things, those elements of that problem that can't be managed otherwise.
Okay, and the college is rogue. Klamath and Southwest of Jackson. Okay.
Okay.
Commissioner
Chair?
Yes. Senator Fisher.
Thank you. Chair, I would like you to explain how just increasing the district brings in a whole lot more enrollment because it would seem to me that if people were there, they'd figure some way of going there whether they were in a district or not.
Chair Kim, Senator Fisher, in each of these cases, we added new territory to an existing district. So we added Curry County to southwestern Oregon. We added Jackson County to Rogue Community College District, and we created a new district taking in Klamath County. So none of those populations nor those students were being served before and are a net addition to any enrollments that were being provided earlier.
Mr. Chair,
well,
yes.
That means because they weren't a district they couldn't attend?
Chair Timms, Senator Fisher, because they weren't a district, they were not a part of the the appropriation to community colleges for students, nor the funding formula that allocates funds to districts for in-district enrollment.
Mr. Chair, I guess that still doesn't answer my question. Where were these people going before? Were they just denied going? I mean, if you live outside of a district, can't you go there? I mean, I see all kinds of kids that don't call community colleges in our district.
Yeah.
Chair, sure, Senator Fisher, I apologize for not understanding your question. No, some did as out-of-district students, but not many, not anything like, are now enrolling as those parts of those counties are now the direct responsibility of the serving district. But you're right, there's always some enrollment from out-of-district students.
Yeah.
But in each of these cases, it's been a dramatic increase as the district took actual responsibility for serving all residents of those counties.
Okay, Representative Meswick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to further explain to the Senator that in the case of Southwestern, they actually opened an annex campus in Brookings, and so that did enhance the enrollment in that campus.
Right, in Klamath Falls, prime example, 600. 600 additional students in the system. Okay, Representative Ross.
I'd just like to point out for the committee that the community colleges do not get any funds for enrollment increases. That they have to absorb that in their present budgets. Both higher ed and K-12, there are specific considerations of enrollment growth in their formulas. And so the community colleges do need this flexibility, and I think we need to respect their right to make these accommodations since we are not funding this enrollment growth and they are absorbing it.
Right. Okay, any further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question on the amendment, the -5 amendment, Section 4B. It says the general fund portion of the OICC budget is $433,673. And I thought the original budget was
$1,498,673. Okay. Anybody have an answer to that?
Representative Schrader and members, the governor's budget contained an incorrect number in the original, in the budget. It has an additional $1,065,000 in general fund, the OICC, that actually was not approved. This is a technical correction to replace the current service level number for the OICC at 433.
Dave, does that answer your question?
Yes, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Another question, you get a chance?
Yes.
Just So the actual reduction in this particular budget, I'm just trying to keep in track here, trying to keep track, and this budget is 0.6% if we exclude the allocation emergency board. Is that correct? I'm trying to track along here.
Steve, did you hear that the question?
Excluding the emergency board funding, this budget is reduced by 1.47% from the left in the governor's recommendation.
And just your follow-up, with the emergency board allocation for the regional partnerships included, what did that come out to be?
It did come out to be 0.6%.
Okay, further questions? Further questions? Are there any no votes on the community college budget? Hearing none and seeing none, and it passed. Next bill up is Senate Bill 5504, State Commission on Children and Families. Senator Kosko, Chair.
Thank you. Senate Bill 5504 is the budget bill for the State Commission on Children and Families and 36 local commissions across the state. The budget funds a continuum of programs at the local level for children prenatal age to 18. It also supports local and state commission staff. The $46.3 million general fund in this budget is $10.8 million higher than in the current budget. There are two major reasons for this increase. $5.5 million general fund is added to the voluntary Healthy Start program. This will add services for more families in the 12 counties that now have programs and add 6 new counties to the program. And I might add, this is the governor's end. The second thing is the budget uses $4.7 million general fund to replace expected cuts in some federal funds. Since the level of federal cuts is still uncertain, the budget also directs $500,000 to the emergency board. The agency can ask for this money if needed to replace reduced federal funds during the biennium. The budget transfers the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps program to the Office of Community College Services, as approved in Senate Bill 205, and we just had that discussion. It keeps the budget for the Children's Ombudsman and Federal Juvenile Delinquency Prevention Funds in the State Commission. The legislature has not yet acted on these two proposed program moves, so we will wait until they are acted upon before we move those. The budget generally funds all other ongoing programs at the current level, plus inflation. It cuts one vacant position and reduces professional service expenditures for the State Commission for administrative savings. The Human Resource Committee recommends that the full committee pass the bill.
Thank you, Senator Tupac. Discussion. Representative Roth.
I was a no vote in committee, not because I don't support the Commission on Children and Families, but because of the expansion, the $7 million, 5.5 in general fund and 1.5 in federal funds that's allocated to the Healthy Start program. This is a new program. It is an expansion. It is in the governor's budget. It's a very worthy and important program, and I don't think there's any place in state government that the money would be better spent. But the reality is we are enhancing this budget without knowing where the money is coming from. And we have a lot of competing efforts in this building, and we don't yet know how we're going to balance the budget. And for that reason, I was a no vote. There is also a footnote. The way, and I am hoping that before the session is over, we can work this out. The way that this was presented in committee and the way it was described, none of the $7 million will go to Multnomah County. I am concerned about that. They did have a logical reason. The plan is to fund 6 new programs to support existing programs and to phase in one larger program. But the testimony was that Washington County is the large county that would be funded because they are, quote, ready. The governor previously had this fund more flexible that it could cover both Healthy Start and home visiting program, new infant home visiting programs, which would have allowed some of the money to be spent in Multnomah County. We have a high rate of poverty, drug use, at-risk mothers, overcrowding and crime, and we have a lot of at-risk infants in Multnomah County. So I am concerned about the fact that the way this appears to be working out, none of the money would go to Multnomah County. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Ross. Further discussion? Representative Slade.
There's discussion about making up the $5 million from the federal government backing out, and I just didn't a question about why we're doing that, and I didn't see from the budget document how we were losing any federal funds. Looks like the federal funds was 2.8 and 97.99 and is 2.8 now.
Do you want to comment, Sheila?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, the federal fund reduction was replaced in the governor's budget with general fund, so it doesn't show up as a change from the governor's recommended budget. It was part of the current service level adjustment. There was a total of about $5 million federal funds, social services block grant funds, which this state has historically used interchangeably with general fund in their state office for services to children and families and in this agency. And so during the development of the governor's budget, an estimate was made of that $5 million federal fund loss, and general fund was used to replace it. What this budget does, based on the president's most recent proposal, is to recognize that that $5 million is still a very uncertain number and say that it could be less than that. The committee puts the general fund in the emergency board so that the agency could come in if indeed the cuts are as high as anticipated in the governor's
budget. Okay, so it's in the e-board holdout.
All right. Okay, Representative
Curry. Also kind of wondering, and that's just my familiarity with, I'm somewhat familiar with the programs, but not the budget portion of the commission. In the narrative and the discussion in the LFO book, a lot of the money goes to individuals at the state level and individuals at the local level to administer the program and staff and stuff. I was wondering what portion of the budget actually went to service providers and what didn't.
Chair, Representative Schrader, of your total budget, about $61 million is passed through to local commissions as special payments, and then the local commissions decide if that goes to local providers, which it does for the most part, or for some other particular program activity if they need to contract for something. But that's the bulk of that, the $61.2 million, is what would be going to local providers. The balance pays for state staff and then for the local commission staff.
Okay.
Final question. I'm just wondering where the cuts were in this particular budget. I mean, I'm getting a little nervous. We're actually increasing this budget, and a 4% cut would have been $1.8 million.
Actually, I think there's a misunderstanding about the 4% cut.
Oh, I'm sorry.
4% cuts are supposed to be taken in administration. That would be administration, personnel services, capital construction, capital outlay. Did we do more than that, or was it?
Yeah. In this particular budget, it was 4% of the personal services and supplies and capital outlay. It's not 4% of the total budget because the bulk of their budget does go out in special payments, which was not a part of that 4% calculation.
So that we did take that portion out.
Similar to community colleges, K-12 or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You won't see the cuts in those budgets. The special payment.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Is the fact that uniform within all the subcommittees, and I guess I'm not quite sure how it does apply. Is it just to administrative expenses? Is that
what you're saying? Right, and it's different. It's in many agencies, we have the employment department coming where we got a 15%. In some cases, we can make bigger cuts, and if we can, we make them without, hurting the services that are being provided. The cuts are not, we want to get at least 4% in most cases. In some cases, we probably won't be able to do that, but at least we're making the effort to do it in all budgets.
Except, Mr. Chair, the K-12 budget. We have not asked for a 4% reduction in their administration. That is the only budget that gets through without accountability. But I will say that every single agency is being asked to bring forward 4% in their administrative costs to show each subcommittee. And then as the co-chair says, there will be variances. Some will have more, some will have less. And Senator Hammond, I think, was going to say something too, but there are budgets where you can't do it. Veterans.
Ms. Chair, members, veterans, perfect example. He has $63,000 general fund out of a several million, $100 million worth of a loan issued in the state of Oregon. The $63,000 is for county veteran service officers. So if you take the 4% out of $63,000, you don't have county veteran service officers. And then we're going to have this room filled up with every veteran organization in the state demanding we add them back. So, when you talk about 4%, I think it's a goal. It's a target. But it doesn't mean necessarily that it's locked in concrete and unyielding.
A little common sense might come into play. I appreciate the information that's helped me. But I guess I would start, especially you mentioned the employment, Mr. Chair, and I mean, there's one where we took out a whole program, and I thought it was okay. It was, no longer served a purpose. And I guess I'm trying to look at these budgets real critically and go beyond just the 4% thing. And I want every budget being scrutinized to where we're going to be at a point sometime this session where we have to prioritize what we do. And maybe it's a little early to do that, but I think we have to be thinking about, hey, you know, what programs, even at the local level, are the ones that we want to be funding or not. Make some tough decisions, because otherwise it will fall to just a few agencies. So I guess I'm going to go on record being pretty aggressive here this session, if that's all right.
Well, I've watched you in committee. You are aggressive, and we appreciate that, because that's what we want to do in this process. Everything wrong.
I just wanted to point out that staff had been very helpful in identifying appropriate administrative cuts in this agency, and that they are not cuts that are going to cripple their operation. They're on the page 3 at the bottom of the page, and what they did was they left one vacant position. They eliminated one vacant position, which was a support to the commission. It's currently vacant, and then they took an additional $60,000 approximately out of contractual professional services, and that's a line item that was being underspent this session. So, again, this is staff looking at things that can be reduced without handicapping their operation. We appreciate staff working on it.
Thank you. Representative Roth.
No.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, I have a lot of concern about your commission. I was absent on the work session. That's why I didn't vote no. But I'm very concerned with this commission. I serve on this commission for the past 4 years. And there is no accountability in the way they spend their money. They don't monitor the providers to make sure that they meet the performance standards. They have performance standards, but they don't monitor them to make sure they meet those performance standards. And the auditor has a report that shows that they have very high administrative costs, as much as 42%. And I haven't seen a follow-up auditor's report yet to make sure that the administrative cost has come down. So I haven't been shown any improvement in accountability. I know they have a new director. Hopefully things will get better. But I have a lot of reservations about the commission and still they can demonstrate that they are being accountable and they are making sure providers meet performance standards. I can go. Yes.
Senator, and I heard that, and I heard it a lot last session.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same problem. But the Commission on Children and Families, by adding more money to the process, you're going to cut down the administrative costs. For the reason that we allotted to each of the 36 counties a certain amount of money to hire that director. And in many cases, the cost was way too high for the money that they administrated. And so, that they put into the process. With this process, as we use this vehicle more, there will be more accountability. County commissioners will be more involved in the process, and we'll have a better system. And I think you're going to probably see more go to the commission than children and families. That's my personal experience. Senator Kutub?
If we're ready, I mean, if we're serious in discussion, I'll close.
Is there any further questions?
Thank you. I just want to address what Senator Yee has brought up. This was an audit that took place, I believe, before last session. You heard last session about the whole redesign, new management systems, and I do believe it's being addressed. And I think some of your concerns have been addressed in your particular commission. But I will say, I think that the commissions work very well. I just have a different opinion than Senator Yee on this. I believe that House Bill 2004, when it was passed, was meant to do this. It's supposed to be on the ground, counties doing it. Some counties do better than other counties, but I think they're all beginning to do better. As far as Representative Ross's comments on she doesn't know where we're getting this money was in the governor's budget. The governor has come with a new budget. He's talked about balancing the budget, and this was not one of the cuts he took. So we do know where we're getting the money. It's in there. And as far as the Multnomah County issue, I have no idea where I don't choose, as the committee chair, where these counties are going to be expanded, but when we were going through this budget and we were going to expand to six other counties, one of which we would phase in a large county, we brought the director forward, and the question was asked, how do you choose these counties? And the answer was by percent of first-time births and by readiness. It just happens that Washington County has all the infrastructure ready to go, and so it is the most likely to be implemented. And I would just mention to those from Multnomah County that there are other programs in Multnomah County, many, many other programs. Because it is a large county, they have a lot of, for instance, they have a lot of county clinics and they have, I think, some other things that other counties don't have right now, but they're simply not ready. So if we sent money to a county that's not ready, it will sit there and wait for it to be ready, or maybe be spent in a way that isn't, it wouldn't be quite as good for a county that's ready to go and has the infrastructure. So I just wanted to try to cover those bases before we voted on it, hopefully not bringing any more controversy into it, but trying to explain about this budget. And I do support the budget. I think it's a good budget.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Is there any further discussion? Are there any, perhaps
I want to say that I come from a county district that has four counties with commissions that are absolutely the best thing that has happened since sliced bread. And I say that in all sincerity.
Okay, thank you, Representative Butler. Are there any no votes in regards to the commission? Okay, let's have a roll call vote, please. Representative Ross?
No.
Westland?
Aye.
Ridley?
Aye.
Leonard?
No.
Schrader?
No.
Butler?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Petridge?
Aye.
Senator Tita?
Aye.
Cannon?
Aye.
Yeet?
No.
Trobe?
No.
Crayoli?
Aye.
Fisher?
Aye.
Metzger?
Aye.
Chair Kim?
Aye.
Pass.
Just budget explanation.
Yeah, Senator Trope.
Oh, that not such a good
one.
Mr. Chair, I think this is a pretty decent budget, so it was hard to vote no on this one. I would like to have some idea of how we're spreading out the money over the important budget. That's why, and so far I'm operating in a murky haze. Maybe the rest of you know more than I do about how it's going to be spread out. So I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Crowell. Representative Schrader.
Just a quick comment why also. Again, I think the commission does a great job. It's a 30.4% increase over the legislatively approved budget, and I guess 33% increase seems a little scary to me right now, so I'm just concerned.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Hayden.
Mr. Chair, Mr. President, I want to go on record as supporting my governor.
And that's why I voted for this.
All right, good for you.
Senator Perry only.
Yeah. One time I can.
That's one time.
Senator Perry only, let's have a little decorum here, a little order, outline. Senator Perry only.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. I understand the concern of those that have difficulty seeing how this budget goes together or worry about where these dollars are coming from. But in the continuum of putting children in a position to be able to learn, to be able to excel, nothing works better than these conditions. And so I would join Representative Butler in saying that perhaps it's a phenomenon.
Clinics, and they have, I think, some other things that other counties don't have right now, but they're simply not ready. So if we sent money to a county that's not ready, it will sit there and wait for it to be ready, or maybe be spent in a way that isn't, it wouldn't be quite as good for a county that's ready to go and has the infrastructure. So I just wanted to try to cover those bases before we voted on it, hopefully not bringing any more controversy into it, but trying to explain about this budget. And I do support the budget. I think it's a good budget.
Okay, thank you, Senator Chief. Are there any further discussion? Are there any
I just want to say that I come from a district that has four counties with commissions that are absolutely the best thing that has happened since sliced bread. And I say that in all sincerity.
Okay, thank you, Representative Butler. Are there any no votes in regards to Commissioner? Okay, let's have roll call vote, please.
Representative Ross?
No.
Westland?
Aye.
Mr. Lee?
Aye.
Leonard?
No.
Trader?
No.
Butler?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Petrich?
Aye.
Senator Skeetub?
Aye.
Cannon?
Aye.
Eat.
No.
Crow?
No.
Crayoli?
Aye.
Fisher?
Aye.
Metzger?
Aye.
Chair Tim?
Aye. Good job. Pass. Senator Bill,
just budget explanation.
Yeah, Senator Crow.
Vote explanation, not budget explanation.
That'd be a long one.
Mr. Chair, I think this is a pretty decent budget, so it was hard to vote no on this one. I would like to have some idea of how we're spreading out the money over the important budget. That's why, and so far I'm operating in a murky haze. Maybe the rest of you know more than I do about how it's going to be spread out. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Crowe. Representative Schrader.
Just a quick comment why also. Again, I think the commission does a great job. But that, you know, it's a 30.4% increase over the legislatively approved budget. And I just 30% increase seems a little scary to me right now. So I'm just concerned.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chair, Mr. President, I want to go on record as supporting my governor. And that's why I voted for this.
All right, good
for you. Senator Perry only.
Yeah. One time I can.
Senator Perry only, let's have a little decorum here, a little order, outline. Senator Perry only.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. I understand the concern of those that have difficulty seeing how this budget goes together or worry about where these dollars are coming from. But in the continuum of putting children in a position to be able to learn, to be able to excel, nothing works better than these conditions. And so I would join Representative Butler in saying that perhaps it's a phenomenon on the rural communities that the most visible, most effective, best organized, most focused service delivery system that I can look at in rural communities are the commissions. So if this agency doesn't stand up to the scrutiny of this body and get the support of the legislature, we really have no yardstick to measure any of our agencies. I wish the other state agencies performed and delivered as well.
Okay, thank you, Senator Perriola. Okay, we'll move on to the next bill. No more vote explanations. Okay, Senate Bill 5513, Employment Relations Board, Representative Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5513 is the budget bill for the Employment Relations Board. The mission of the board is to provide resolution of labor relations disputes in state agencies, local government agencies, and private employers not subject to the jurisdiction of the National Labor Relations Board. The state government program is funded by a monthly assessment of covered state employees. The local government and private employer program is supported by general fund and other funds, the latter consisting of fees for mediation, training, and handling of unfair labor practice issues. The subcommittee's recommended budget of $2,677,297 is an increase of 12.2% over the $97.99 estimated expenditures and continues current activities of the board. It eliminates a $65,311 general fund policy package that would have added one FTE in support staff. The subcommittee reduced the assessment on state agencies by 10 cents per month per covered employee, producing a savings for our state government of $75,600 total funds and approximately $26,000 in general funds for 9901. The board's $97.99 ending fund balance will be used to replace some of the foregone revenues resulting from the rate reduction. Also, an anticipated increase in the number of covered employees in 1999-01 will generate additional revenues, thus offsetting some of the impact of the rate reduction. The subcommittee discussed the difficulty the board has had generating revenues from fee-based services in local government programs. The subcommittee adopted a budget note instructing the agency to work with Legislative Fiscal Office and the Department of Administrative Services in reviewing the board's overall funding structure. The General Government Subcommittee voted this out unanimously, and we would recommend approval of the bill as amended and with the budget bill.
Thank you, Representative Lennon. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Did I hear there was a 12% increase?
You heard there was a 12.2% increase over the $97.99 budget. However, we reduced the proposed budget by $75,600 because most of that money comes from local government and other employers other than state government. By reducing 10 cents per month per covered employee, we only were able to save the general fund $26,000, although the IRBS budget went down by $75,600.
I just wanted to follow up, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Was there opposition to this increase? Is there any concern on the part of yourself or any of the other people just voted no on the previous budget about an increase? Was there any concern shown about this one increasing?
These funds are that increase are generally other funds caused by the per employee per capita of $1.43. So as employees fluctuate, so does the amount of revenue that comes in. What we grappled with was trying to make the reduction in the proposed budget of 4% for the general fund, which in effect was, as I pointed out, was only to save $26,000 in the general fund by reducing the assessment to state agencies by 10 cents a month. That caused the Employment Relations Board to actually lose three times that amount in their revenue, because most of that is other funds. I think the issue you heard expressed on the previous budget had to do with the rise of the expenditures of general fund dollars, and this is by far mostly other funds.
I see, Mr. Chair. 1.25 million of general funds here.
Okay, further questions? President Trader.
Yeah, I agree. Appreciate Senator Skidjaw pointing that out. I'd like to make two comments. One is I appreciate the budget note, too, which gives the next legislature an opportunity to look at this whole program, and I commend the committee for the reduction they did do and the assessment on state agencies. That's a great deal. And I would hope that next session we'll look at it again, see if we can reduce it some more if the anticipated workload doesn't show up. I'd also hope that we'd look at the that whole portion of the program that is local and private. I mean, do we need to be doing that? The demand for the services has gone down. That's another program that you may not want to fund at all, depending on what the continuing trend is. And so I appreciate the Senator's comments and hope that you continue to look at this in the future.
Well, I should point out that, that is not what we heard in committee. In fact, there is an increasing demand for mediation to resolve disputes which end up saving public employers and the taxpayer a lot of dollars because of ongoing disputes. This is a service that actually that travels around the state to resolve disputes between local government employers and employees, whether it's a school district or a city or a county or wherever, and they are actually quite successful, and it's a method by which we actually save disputes without having court cases, grievance arbitrations. And I can say from personal experiences, I've used their services myself, and they are the best, and actually bring a lot of sanity to sometimes some pretty tense negotiations, and end up saving both sides thousands of dollars.
Okay, thank you, Representative Leonard. Senator Hinn.
Mr. Chairman, members, I think it's important to understand that when local government comes into the legislature asking more additional funds, we're actually supplementing this with about $1.2 million general fund. So that's a cost offset to, in essence, subsidize cities and counties and school districts. So there is no such thing as a free lunch. The state is picking it up. Local government actually had to pay for its portion. It could be increased and replaced the $1.2 million. But as I said earlier in the previous bill, we're increasing general fund in that bill. We're increasing other funds in this bill. I think we need to look at the overall scheme of things. If perhaps we're opposed to increasing one, we should look at the other. And maybe it's time that city and county school districts pay more of their proportionate share rather than the state subsidizing them.
Thank you, Senator Hinn. Further questions? Senator Fisher.
Comment here on the local warning special
settlement.
We reduced less than $32 total funds for reduction of trade general fees from the 92 to 90 an hour reduction. But that would indicate to somebody on a hasty view of this that we were only providing about 15 hours of CT. Time during the biennium, and I would say that I would commend the people who are looking closely, even trying to save a dollar or two, but Senator Mitchell suggested that we have been out of our own pocket with the good back to $32. How come it's only $32 when I deal with that?
Well, Mr. Chair, for the reason you point out, they don't use AG's office very much. They actually have a pretty good staff there, and I just think that there's just not a need to use the AG's office a lot.
Right. Representative Butler, I believe you're the chair of that committee.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And the folks that are involved here are professionals, and the staff leader is an attorney, and they use a lot of administrative law judge time, so they don't really go to the... And the time is, as Senator Hanna has pointed out, there's $1.2 million here that basically goes out to subsidize, just $1.25 million goes out to subsidize counties and cities and school districts at the present time. And we looked at that very carefully and are very cognizant of the concern that we had to make sure that those benefits would go out to those agencies so that they can resolve those disputes early on without it becoming very spendy for both sides, and usually ends up saving these districts many times more than that. We wouldn't want to increase the fee, as might be suggested because we want to encourage the use of it. But again, that's a commitment that we make from the state to the local counties, to the local cities, to the local school districts in these kinds of disputes.
Mr. Chair, just to have further questions, I hope you understand this. Why are we then going out and increasing a whole bunch of budgets because of the use of the AG's time? This report is in a world of hurt right now because of having to use the AG board, some $13,000 worth or something that they've incurred. That would indicate at $90 an hour, almost the amount that was saved here by the $10 alone in that one board. I guess I'm still having a hard time understanding that you don't need the AG anymore and that way we fund it at all.
In this department, well, there's an assessment charge, and we do it universally throughout government for that service. And so there is, what was it, $32, I'm saying, in regards to this. Mike, you have a better explanation than that.
The utilization of AG services will vary agency to agency. And in this particular agency, because of the kind of work they do and because of the, in effect, the in-house legal direction that the board itself brings, they don't have to use the AG that much, and that's why the reduction is not so large. In the case of the board that you were referring to, they have been engaged in some licensing revocation actions that have a significant requirement for AG activity.
Okay. Any further questions? Are there any no votes in regards to Senate Bill 5513? Seeing none, and hearing none, Senate Bill 5513 is passed. Next up, we have one bill, Senate Bill 403, relating to Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund. Senator Hanna.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, members, Senate Bill 403A establishes the Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund. The Senate T&E Committee referred this measure to Ways and Means. However, the measure has no fiscal impact. We did not have a hearing. We did not deal with it. We're just sending it back out per the recommendation of the Joint T&E Committee. The Safe Drinking Water Revolving Fund will be used to maintain a separate account for the estimated $25 million in federal funds that will be received from the Safe Drinking Water Act. The issue of matching funds is addressed in another bill, House Bill 2153, which contains the authorization for 99-2001 lottery revenue bonds. These bonds were approved by the 97th session, and we would recommend that the bill be approved.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Any questions? Any no votes? Okay, Senate Bill 403 has been approved. Meeting adjourned.
I like that.